We would like to say a special thank you to Ron and Martha Rossing for sponsoring this week's episode.
And I guarantee you, there are people that are going to be sitting in the pews this year that for the very first time, the resurrection, the reality of the resurrection hits them in a way it hadn't before, because they literally had experienced death.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Scripture First, the podcast that explores how the Lutheran lectionary is working in your life. I'm your host, Mason Van Essen. It's Easter Sunday, and three women head to Jesus' tomb, fully expecting to find the dead body of the man they betrayed. Suddenly, an angel appears to deliver them the incredible news that is the basis of the Christian faith. He has been raised. He is not here. Sarah Stenson and Dr. Chris Krogan explain why the women expected to find death, despite Jesus having told them he would be raised, the importance of the angel's sermon, and the surprising last verse of the original manuscript of the Gospel of Mark. Let's get to it. Here's Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man, dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And now on to this week's conversation. Welcome back to Scripture First. Jesus Christ has risen today. It's Easter Sunday. We've got Dr. Chris Krogan and Sarah Stenson. Over to you, Kiri.
So, for our context, Jesus be dead.
You didn't ask me the question. I was waiting.
I wanted to take it from you.
That's exactly right. About 3 days, dead as a doornail. That's exactly right when the text picks up. So it starts, though, this is Mark 16, verse 1, when the Sabbath was over. So right away, we've got Mary Magdalene and Mary and Salome bringing spices when the Sabbath was over. So they are keeping Jewish law here in the proper way to treat a dead body, because they had to bury Jesus quickly because of the Sabbath. So this was their first opportunity to get to his body, so they weren't violating the Sabbath. So they actually are being technically obedient to the law here,
yep.
Which is ironic because the reason Jesus is dead, the reason Jesus be dead is because they be betrayers.
But they were trying to keep the law.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Now they're trying to, that's true.
Yeah.
That's why they killed them. They were trying to keep the law then. Yeah. And so why change anything now?
Yeah. I mean, it was their obedience, their intended self-righteousness in the law that got them killed.
And so, yeah. But it's just your Lord and presumably one of your closest friends just was absolutely
murdered.
And your
son.
Yeah. And they're
She's
just like,
his mother.
Well, we're going to wait until the Sabbath was over. Yeah. And that was one of my questions is, can you describe who these Marys, the two Marys and Salome?
I know. I've never heard of Salome.
Who are these people?
It sounds like Shalom. But I assume it's not the same. Krogan doesn't want to answer for our listeners.
No, one of the key is these are obviously women who did love Jesus. They had personal relationship with Jesus. and they are all three females, which some people think is important. I think it's not irrelevant entirely, but they certainly had personal relationship with Jesus and loved him. And that's why they're there now to treat his body with those spices.
And Mary Magdalene had broken the jar of ointment over him, mm-hmm. and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah, and she had had the demons. And mm-hmm. so there's backstory there. I don't know, though, on Siloam, if there's any backstory there, except she shows up in this text. Yeah.
But again, keep in mind, they had betrayed him. They weren't there fighting for him. And so this is just kind of the world of relationships, the old creation that we live in. You love somebody, but when push comes to shove, you aren't going to die for them.
I know. That's so such a sad realization.
Yeah.
Well, some people do die.
They do, but that's where they pick up their other free to do that. But I'm just saying, note after the fact, we still care about him. Yeah. We still, you know, want to honor his life and all
in
that kind
keeping
of stuff.
With Jewish law.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
After the Sabbath is over, mm-hmm. obviously, yep. uh-huh.
mm-hmm. with those spices. So and they so that they might go and anoint him. That's the same. It's the same thing. This is all keeping Jewish law there and how you deal with a dead body.
Mm-hmm. What? Okay. So what is anointing? Because we hear about anointing in the Old Testament, where they pour oil on.
Pouring oil on.
Seems messy.
Because this is just the way you deal with a body. Today you're embalmed somebody or something. Mm-hmm. This is a preservation.
Okay.
And covering the smell, too.
Yep.
Of the decaying body.
Wow.
Yep. So that's what they expected, though. So very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. So they were fully expecting death.
Well, they even say to each other, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? Because those are, I think we've talked about this in years past. They're, mm-hmm. It's huge. It's a hassle to roll away.
But just keep that, what was just said. Jesus had predicted time and again that he would be raised on the third day. Mm-hmm. Four different times. He's preaching that to them in mm-hmm. sermons. And they go expecting him to be dead. Day number three, dead. Shows you how unbelievers they are still, right? They don't believe what Jesus said is true. Even though he'd say things that he had been predicting all up to this point. Son of Man's going to do this, raised on the third day. Crucified, raised on the third day. Raised on the third day. He's also, what he says happens, remember, he go fetch the colt.
That's what I was thinking, the Palm Sunday text.
Palm Sunday, go fetch the colt.
And they're going to say, wait a minute, and you say this. I mean, over and over and over.
And then he's going to say, you're going to go into town and there's going to be some people there and tell them that you're doing this for the Messiah and they'll prepare a room for you and the room will be ready. So he's got all this premonition. They're all like, wow, look at how much he knew. Day three? No, we don't believe it. Mm-mm.
No, because if they believed it, they wouldn't have been walking in with the spices and anointment for the dead body.
So but don't let the preachers, when you're listening to this, don't be discouraged. People that weren't listening to Jesus' sermons either.
That's right. That's why you have to do it time and again on Sunday.
But that's exactly right. That is the rhythm of a pastor's life, but also the Christian life. Mm-hmm. You hear the promise. It's gone. You hear the promise? Yeah. It's gone. This is why we go to church as often as we can, every Sunday. Yep. It's why we receive the sacrament, et cetera. Because we're no different than these women expecting death.
And of all things, tragedy, that is to say, horror, sin, removes it from your conscience.
Yeah.
So you literally have to have it show up again in your conscience. The world will do everything in its power to take away.
And the devil.
The dope, yeah.
The devil, that's the Christ devil's attack.
Preaching in your ear.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, and you think about the Marys and Salome and mm-hmm. and the things that they experienced just before this. I mean, it's been 3 days since the horrific events took place at Jesus' resurrection. And similarly, we're still in this old world filled with sin, and we have tragedy that steals the words out of our ears, too. So
exactly.
It is important to continually get Jesus' word back
right
in your the words of forgiveness back in your life.
And I guarantee you there are people that are going to be sitting in the pews this year that for the very first time, the resurrection, the reality of the resurrection hits them in a way it hadn't before because they literally had experienced death. And they're like, wow, this is really something.
And they might not even be able to say themselves, he is risen indeed, but they're going to hear it.
Yep.
Right.
So who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? You know, so they're expecting, you know.
So then they walk into the tomb.
Mm-hmm. And a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side. Mm-hmm. We see this visualization a lot, like whether it be Easter plays.
Yeah, all sorts of great paintings of this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's all focused on this man.
Yep.
And this kind of just goes back into what you guys were just saying, how they were alarmed.
Mm-hmm. But yeah,
they were not expecting it.
The Greek word there is actually exembeia, which means astonished, amazed, awestruck. So we'll get later terror and a different word for amazement there. But they're astonished, they're awestruck because they've got this young man who is an angel, and we know that because the first thing it's what he says, a messenger, you know, an angel is in the Greek, it's messenger. First thing out of this angel's mouth is, do not be alarmed. So he knows they are completely awestruck because they walked there expecting to see a dead Jesus.
Yep.
Now they see an empty tomb and they're talking to this guy wearing white who continues to preach to them. And he preaches and says, you're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who's crucified. He's been raised. He is not here. So there's the resurrection. He's not here. He's raised. Look, there's a place they laid him. So see for yourself. He's not there anymore. The body is gone. He has been resurrected. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. So he specifically calls out names Peter, the one who betrayed Jesus three times before the cock crowed, just again, just like Jesus said he would. He did. So go and tell the disciples. Go and preach to the disciples what you heard me preach just now. So
and we had spent time on that on Good Friday, the and Peter, which is why, like, set that up for your Good Friday sermon or set that up on your Passion Sunday sermon.
Oh, I like that. I think that would be, that sounds, I approve.
I love it when scripture works like that.
Interesting. As if it were one,
almost,
you know,
like it's story, consistent. You know? Yeah. So they did as they were told. They went out. They fled from the tomb.
Well, so they end up going out and doing what they're told, but it doesn't finish like that.
But they do go. I mean, they go out. They flee from the tomb. They run out of the tomb.
For terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. Terror and amazement. Those are the opposite. Those seem like they're on the opposite ends of the spectrum.
Well, they kind of, so in the Greek, it's tromos and ekstasis. So tromos is trembling, fear, you know, fair enough, trembling and fear. And then ekstasis is literally being taken out of your mind, shocked, senseless, basically. So they were taken out of their mind. Ek means out of, stasis, out of their mind. So had seized them. So they're running, completely overwhelmed, trembling, and this is my favorite part. They said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid.
Mm-hmm. Why is that your favorite part?
Because if they had actually said nothing to anyone, we would not know this.
You know,
it's on its face.
I always love to do this to all the freshman classes when I teach them. I'd read this story and technically. Most manuscripts show that this is the ending of Mark, the oldest manuscripts.
Yep.
That what comes later is a later edition.
Right.
And I say, so if you're – and the way you read Mark is it actually could be read in about 2.5 hours. So it was understood to probably be an oral story that was handed down.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just story. And so you just would sit and listen to it like you'd go to a movie and listen to, you know, watch a movie. This was – people just tell the story. And so if the guy's up there telling the story and he says, they said nothing to anyone – for they were afraid. And then he walks off stage left. The crowd starts to think about it, and logically, that's not possible. Because he said nothing to anyone. We wouldn't know this story. So it's one of those, the word was gotten out. It did its work.
Through those women's yep. mouths. They mm-hmm. heard it from the angel, and they obviously told others. Story. They preached.
So the Bible lied.
No. It now what happens is it folds you into the story.
Yep.
Because now you're in on the secret.
That's what I was going to say. So this is actually the pattern of preaching. They heard the sermon from the angel's mouth.
Yep.
Jesus, who you're looking for, he's been resurrected. But this is where you're going to find him, just like he said. He's going to fulfill all his promises. So that's the sermon the angel delivers. They hear the sermon, and then they obviously go repeat that same sermon. That is the pattern of preaching. That's exactly what preachers do now. They hear the promise, and they deliver the promise to their congregations. So they were actually the first preachers.
And the promise was given to Peter, as well as the other disciples,
yep.
that your sin did not get the final word over Jesus.
So on Easter Sunday, when a pastor is preaching this text, I know there's a lot of different things that can be preached on. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of what, is this part and what you just talked about, is that what you recommend focusing on
in front of everyone? Keep in mind, the law wasn't what was fulfilled, that wasn't what stayed in play, right?
Okay.
So they're not, the Sabbath didn't matter. Mm-mm. Their sin didn't matter.
They thought they were still in the law. They heard a sermon.
Death didn't win. The law didn't win.
Yep.
Sin didn't win. On the first day of the week is another piece. That's the day that God creates. The first day, mm-hmm. that's where God speaks new life into the world. So on the first day, a new creation pops up. God wins.
So no, I would not make my sermon about the women were the first preachers. Your sermon is about what was it? What is the sermon? What was it they preached? What did they hear out of the mouth of that angel? That's the key. And it's everything Chris is talking about. Jesus defeated sin, death, and the devil for his betrayers, specifically Peter, and now you, who are every bit the betrayer Peter and all the rest of them were at the time of Jesus' crucifixion. That's the sermon.
Oh, good. I thought I was going to be excluded.
No, you're a sinner. Forgiven.
Thank you.
I just really like this parallel too, that as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. And the next thing, they were alarmed. He says, do not be alarmed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of course, we just walked out of Good Friday. Mm-hmm. Our mm-hmm. sin killed Jesus.
Yep.
We betrayed him, whether we actively nailed him to the cross or we were trying to self-preserve and keep ourselves out of it. We were the ones to kill him regardless. Mm-hmm. And that's alarming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the very thing that you hear, the first thing you hear when you expect to find death is, do not be alarmed. Mm-hmm. Your sin doesn't have the final word.
Right.
Your sin isn't here.
Yeah, exactly. Your sin is not in this tomb.
And on that note, we've reached the end of this week's episode, my friends. Thank you to Sarah Stinson and Dr. Chris Krogan for teaching us the sermon that started the basis of the entire Christian faith. He has been raised. He is not here. The three women were keeping the law and fully expected to find death. When you experience tragedy, the promise of Christ is stolen from you. But a preacher comes to insert God's promise back into their ears and ours. The original manuscript of Mark ends with the women not telling anyone. This statement is obviously not true because we know of this, but it invites the hearer into the story. Christ's forgiveness is for you. Thanks again for joining us this week. He is risen. We'll see you next time on Scripture First.